excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Becheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our monthly Mimer series. This month, we are honored to have Menucha Schwartz. She developed the curriculum for a few of our courses, two of our most popular courses, I should say. And it's really exciting to have you back for this episode. Menucha, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about the Mimer that we're going to be learning today. Maybe tell us the first time you learned it and why you chose this one.
Hi, I'm Menucha. I'm really excited to be here and to talk about this Mimer with you and share with everyone. I live in New Haven. I have, Baruch Hashem, four little kids. I'm a teacher. I've been teaching for 7 years now. And I love the work that I got to do with Becheva Learning Center in the past. Working on those courses was some of the most exciting projects that I've done also. So about this Mimer. This Mimer I originally learned when I was in seminary in Mayanot. It's a Mimer about Pesach, and it's talking about, really, I guess, the relationship between Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mashiach, and our day-to-day Avaida and life, and how that all connects to each other, how all those things are connected to each other. But what really resonated with me so deeply about it at the time, that really stuck with me all these years, every year on Pesach, when someone's like, oh, does anyone want to share something? This is always the idea that just pops into my head because I really thought it was so powerful. And this Mimer is actually based on a pasuk from Micha, which is talking about when Mashiach comes. And the pasuk says, Ki mei tseischa mei eretz Mitzrayim, eranu neflais, which means, just like in the days when you came out of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, I will show you wonders, just like that, when Mashiach comes. And so the Mimer is discussing, has a few questions on that pasuk, but one of the really foundational ideas that the Mimer brings out from this pasuk is that Yetzias Mitzrayim was not a one-time event. It wasn't something that just happened on one day. And this is something that is based on the fact that the word in the pasuk, Yemei Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim, is actually plural. It means the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we know that obviously the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim did happen in only one day. It wasn't a multiple-day event. It was a one-day event. So from this, the Rebbe really pulls out the fact that every single day of our life is a day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and not just in a symbolic way or in a, microcosmic way in the context of your own Avaida and your own life, but in a very real, very global way, your Avaida of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which I guess we'll get into more in the Mimer, is actually part of this ongoing process of Yetzias Mitzrayim that started when we left Mitzrayim, and will continue until Mashiach comes. And it is one process which is so real, and it's so, this is not figurative in any way, to the extent that we have a pasuk in Tanakh which refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim as Yemei Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim, like plural, that today is just as much a day of Yetzias Mitzrayim as the day we walk through the Yom Tov, and as much as the day when Mashiach comes. Mitzvah Hashem, it should be right now, today. But all of our Avaida and every day of our lives are actually a real part of that process. And I found that to be so powerful because I think it's so easy to get kind of stuck in feeling like, maybe our struggle or our Avaida or our effort is futile in the big picture of things, or we're going to be stuck struggling with the same small things over and over again and we're not going to get anywhere, and like almost kind of like, what's the point? And for me, seeing my own struggles in the context of this very real, very big, very powerful process that Am Yisrael and the whole world is going through, it gave a lot of weight and meaning and kind of almost energy to our Avaida, to how I felt about my Avaida and my struggles and my day-to-day living and trying to, be better every day and all of that. So I guess that was a little long-winded, but that is why this Mimer is the one that I chose.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I've never actually seen this particular Mimer before you introduced it to me, but I was telling you before that there's a sicha that I learned it's also that was like, you know, you said you always have your go-to thing that you always say on Pesach. So this was also like my go-to thing that I would always learn. It's very long, but it goes through the Haggadah, like sort of like all of the parts of the Haggadah, and shows sort of this common, you know, raises a lot of questions. And one of the themes that you see is that the Haggadah is sort of doing two things. On the one hand, we're celebrating freedom, but it's also like constantly reminding us that we're still enslaved, like we're still slaves. And it's sort of like this paradox that's going on the entire time in the Haggadah. And in this beautiful Sikha, just talk about this idea that like when we all come to the Seder really with this question, right? Like this fundamental question of like, why are we celebrating freedom when we're still, like we're still suffering in the world, and there's still like both physically suffering, there's war, there's people are hungry, people are poor, people are suffering, there's illness, and also spiritually, you know, like people are estranged from, you know, their Yiddishkeit in all kinds of ways, and like why are we celebrating freedom that wasn't that didn't last, right? And the answer is that, like, again, Matzias Mitzrayim was not a one-day event. It started, like, on Pesach. Like, that was the beginning, which is what we're celebrating. But it's a process that's still going on. And, like, we are a part of that process. It's not something that just happened, you know, Hashem just initiated thousands of years ago. But we are partners in creating that process every single day. So, yeah, it's a really powerful idea. Let's dive in.
Okay. So I guess we'll start just giving an overview of the first two Isaiahs of the Maamar, and then we'll dive inside if that's...
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. So the Maamar starts off again with this pasuk that I mentioned before, a pasuk from Micha, Ki mei teischa me'eretz Mitzrayim erenu niflais, which again means, just like in the days when you left Mitzrayim, I will show you wonders. And again, this is talking about the coming of Mashiach. So the Maamar starts with really two questions on this pasuk. And again, the first one I already mentioned, which is, why is Yetzias Mitzrayim referred to as Yimei Teischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim? Yimei meaning the days of, plural, when we know Yetzias Mitzrayim happened in just one day. So that's just a very simple question on the pasuk. And the second question that the Rebbe asks is really noticing that in this pasuk, we're kind of comparing Mashiach's coming, the final Geula, to Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're almost setting up Yetzias Mitzrayim as the basis, and then from there, we're talking about Mashiach's coming. So we say, just like when you left Mitzrayim, I will show you wonders when Mashiach comes, right? We're comparing Mashiach to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But at the same time, we know that while, yes, Yetzias Mitzrayim was a very transformative Geula, it didn't last, right? We have Gullus in the world. We're in Gullus now. Whereas when Mashiach comes, that's going to be a much, much more permanent, not much more permanent, it is going to be permanent. It is a permanent transformation of the world into a state of Geula. And we know that the state of the world and the kinds of revelations of godliness that we'll experience when Mashiach comes are far greater and far more lofty and will have a far deeper effect on our reality than what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the question is kind of, why are we taking the coming of Mashiach, which is this like really, really complete Geula, which is on a much higher plane than what happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're saying, what's the, you know, how are we going to describe Mashiach's coming? What's the, you know, how am I going to identify it to you? I'm going to tell you, oh, it's going to be like Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's kind of like, 1 second, why are we kind of diminishing almost the complete redemption by comparing it to Yetzias Mitzrayim, which again, while it was obviously a very great event, it doesn't touch what Mashiach will be. So we kind of, the Rebbe kind of brings up that question, and I guess really underlying that question is, what is the relationship between these two Geulas, between the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Geula of Mashiach? Honestly, the fact, and the Rebbe points this out, the fact that we are comparing Mashiach's coming to Yetzias Mitzrayim seems to imply that something about Mashiach's coming is almost like rooted in what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's some kind of beginning to Mashiach that happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's why we're comparing it back. So as we go through the Maamar, that's really what we're going to be exploring, is what's the nature of the relationship, I guess, between the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Geula when Mashiach comes. In the second ice, the Rebbe really goes more into detail to understand what this pasuk actually means, right? We're comparing, like we said, we're comparing Mashiach's coming to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what is the Pasuk actually trying to tell us in that comparison? And the Rebbe says there's really two options. One, we could understand the Pasuk simply, right? Kimeitzes chameres Mitzrayim, Ereinu Neflais. Whatever happens when Mashiach comes, whatever miracles and wonders we experience will be the same as they were at Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Simple, straightforward reading of the Pasuk. But then the Rebbe says we can really actually say that what the Pasuk is trying to tell us is that the wonders and miracles we'll experience when Mashiach comes are going to be wondrous relative to the wonders we experienced at Yetzias Mitzrayim. So however miraculous Yetzias Mitzrayim was, we're going to set that as our baseline now, and we're going to say Mashiach's coming is going to be wondrous relative to that. So we have these two elements where on the one hand we're saying Mashiach's coming is going to be comparable, is going to be similar to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And at the same time, we're saying that that Mashiach's coming is going to be so wondrous that it's even going to be wondrous relative to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the way we resolve those two seemingly opposing notions about Mashiach's coming is by understanding that when Yetzias Mitzrayim took place, there actually was a revelation of the most lofty levels, that deepest part of Hashem. Hashem himself was revealed during Yetzias Mitzrayim. But at that time, the world and Bnei Yisrael were not able to really grasp that for what it was. And so it was expressed through the Kabbalistic terms, it was through a hislabshus and malchus. It was enclosed in malchus. So without getting into all of the Kabbalistic terms that are brought up in the Maamar, the idea is that even though it was a revelation of Hashem himself, it was expressed through a lot of constrictions. We weren't able to really see it for what it was. Whereas when Mashiach comes, it's going to be the same revelation, the same Hashem himself who was revealed at Yetzias Mitzrayim that we couldn't really fully perceive in that experience. We're going to be able to perceive and experience it straight out when Mashiach comes. So the similarity, like we said, we're comparing the two. The similarity is that in both Geulas, kind of the defining element of a Geula is this revelation of Hashem. And in both of these cases, Hashem himself was revealed, will be revealed. But in one instance, we weren't quite able to fully experience it. Whereas when Mashiach comes, we will be able to fully experience it. And it won't be hidden or enclosed or expressed through any kinds of concealment. So on the one hand, it's the same revelation. On the other hand, Mashiach is going to be way more wondrous relative to what we experienced in Yetzias Mitzrayim because there's going to be nothing clouding our experience of Hashem. And that really brings us to Eis Gimel, which we were going to dive into inside, where we're going to start talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim really being the beginning of the process of Mashiach ultimately coming. Okay, so Eis Gimel begins. Amnam al piza tzarech lahavin mash akasov kimeitzeis chame eres mitzrayim erenu neflais. Madua medama hakasov haneflais de geula halsida lehaneflais shahayu b'yemeitzeis chame eres mitzrayim. So the Rebbe begins Eis Gimel by kind of returning to our original question, which is we still need to understand why in the Pasuk kimeitzeis chame eres mitzrayim erenu neflais, the wonders and the miracles of the future redemption of Mashiach are compared to the wonders of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Rebbe continues, "V'yaiser einay muvan lefi hadeya shemaskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim gam liyemais haMashiach. Dilech ayra mekevan shahagiluyim de laasid lava yiyu nailim harbe yaiser mehagiluyim shahayu b'Yetzias Mitzrayim lama yaskir Yetzias Mitzrayim gam az." And the Rebbe says this question is furthermore not understood according to the opinion that we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim also when Mashiach comes. So now we have a mitzvah, an obligation to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, which we do in Shema, in the paragraph of Vayomer. Every single day we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have a mitzvah to remember it every single day. And there is a difference of opinion, which we actually talk about in the Haggadah, about whether or not this mitzvah will still apply when Mashiach comes. But there is an opinion that, yes, this mitzvah does apply, and even when Mashiach is here and the world is in a complete state of redemption and with no going back, we will still have this obligation to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Rebbe says, according to this opinion, if we take this as fact, that when Mashiach comes, we will still be talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have this really kind of pressing question of why, right? If Mashiach, again, as we've been saying, if Mashiach is such a much loftier experience of Geula, why are we going to still be talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Why are we talking about kind of like this very, you know, can't talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim this way, but almost like the plastic made in China version when we have the real deal. Like, what's going on? Why are we still talking about it? So we'll continue. V'yadua habir b'zeh, and the explanation for this is known. K'maisha kasav b'dibur hamaschel k'mei tzeischa l'kvay k'dushas meri v'chami admor. So the Rebbe says that there's an explanation for this, which is given in a mimer of the Friedrich Rebbe with the same dibur hamaschel as this. And what is that explanation? Debegeulas Mitzrayim nischadish klalos inyan hageula, v'niftach hatzinor al kol hageulais mehagaliyos shelaachre galos Mitzrayim gam al geula haasida. So here we have kind of this big new idea, which is that when the geula from Mitzrayim happened, it actually brought a new concept into reality, which is the very basic idea of Geula, right? Geula as a concept was brought into the world through the Geula from Mitzrayim. And that actually opened the pathway for any future Geula that happened from every Galus throughout history, and ultimately also for the ultimate Geula of Mashiach. That ultimate Geula will only be able to come into the world through the channel that was opened by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Yetzias Mitzrayim kind of, I guess the word would be groundbreaking. It really brought something new into the world that didn't exist before, which is the whole notion of Geula. And we'll continue. Hagam shetihya Geula nailas yaiser. Sorry, that was the end of the sentence that I read before. I probably should have finished till there. But the Rebbe is saying that this stands true despite the fact that the Geula by Mashiach will be much, much greater than the Geula by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, Yetzias Mitzrayim is still the channel or the pathway that allows for that much loftier Geula to come about. Ve'al derech hayadua sheyetzias Mitzrayim haisa hachana l'matan Torah. So the Rebbe is going to kind of compare this to the relationship between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Mashiach's coming to the relationship between Yetzias Mitzrayim and matan Torah. So the Rebbe says, we know that Yetzias Mitzrayim was really a hachana, a preparation for Matan Torah, right? Why did the Yidden leave Mitzrayim in the first place? It was to go get the Torah. K'may shekasav b'haytziach es ha'am Mitzrayim tavdon es helikim al ha'har hazeh. And we have a pasuk to prove that, right? When you will take the nation out of Mitzrayim, they will serve Hashem on this mountain. That was why Moshe was given the job to take the Yidden out. It was so that they could go serve Hashem, so that they could go receive the Torah. So dehagam she'ikar inyan hagu'ula v'hachiris haya b'shas matan Torah dafka. And even though the real main point of the ge'ula from Mitzrayim and the real freedom that they were being given took place at matan Torah specifically, right? What was the freedom they gained from being slaves in Mitzrayim was that they became servants of Hashem instead, and that took place at matan Torah. Ki mikevan shelifnei matan Torah haisa adayin hagzera de'elyanim layardu l'tachtanim v'tachtanim layalu l'elyanim. So before matan Torah, right, one of the, it's explained a lot in Chassidus in different places, that the main thing that changed when the Torah was given on Har Sinai was that prior to matan Torah, spiritual worlds and realms and realities existed, but they were totally separate from our physical world. And so, yes, we could be here in this physical world and we could connect to Hashem and engage in spirituality, but ultimately it had no lasting impact or effect on our physical world. They were two separate realms, two planes. And what the kind of the radical shift that happened at Matan Torah was that now through physical actions of mitzvahs in this physical world, we actually imbue this world with ruchnius, with godliness. And that's something that we couldn't do before Matan Torah. So until Matan Torah took place, right, even when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, but before they got to Har Sinai and before the Torah was given, this reality that spirituality and physicality were completely separate and they couldn't really impact each other in any kind of lasting way, that was still in effect at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it didn't change until Matan Torah. So Harim Muvan... Yeah.
I guess the question's coming to my mind as we're learning this is, meaning, how are we defining geula here? I mean, we're sort of defining geula as the sort of a more abstract concept where Yetzias Mitzrayim was the opening of that, and then Matan Torah, this idea of the Alyanim and Tachtanim sort of coming, you know, being able to integrate is also an expression of that same thing. Like, what's that common thread that Matan Torah is continuing from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then Mashiach will be an ultimate, you know, completion of that.
Right. I mean, I guess in general in Chassidus, the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which I guess is Geula, is spoken about as breaking boundaries, breaking limitations. Like Mitzrayim is the similar word to Mitzarim, which means like constraint. So it seems that I'm just thinking out loud here, that every Geula has an element of a certain constriction or limitation being broken. So, you know, when the Yidden physically walked out of Mitzrayim, yes, the boundary that was being broken was the fact that we are no longer enslaved and subjugated to Pare. But when we got to Matan Torah, what was the bound that was broken was really something much more deeper and more powerful, was the limitation that this world cannot be truly affected by spirituality. That was then a boundary that was broken. And that the breaking of that boundary, that now this world is not limited to itself, but it can actually really be elevated and connected to godliness, that kind of breaking free, it's kind of like a geula for our physical world almost.
Right. It almost seems like, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, like it almost seems like every stage of geula is almost like another, I guess, breaking down another wall between like Hashem and Hashem's expression in the world in some way. You know, it's like, it's like it's Yetzias Mitzrayim, the opening of that, where like we can no longer be enslaved to our own tapare, right, or to whatever that represents spiritually, and like just be open to this relationship with Hashem in the first place, right? And then Matan Torah is like another step of allowing that integration to happen. And I guess Mashiach is the ultimate, you know, the ultimate stage of that, where like Hashem's presence can be fully integrated in the world. Okay, cool.
Okay. Okay, so Hare Muvan Sha'ad Matan Torah Gam La'achar Yetzias Mitzrayim Lai Haisa Adayin Amitis HaGeula V'Hachiris T'Tachtanim. This is kind of just what we were saying. So the Rebbe says it's understood that until Matan Torah, even after Yetzias Mitzrayim, there still wasn't the true redemption and true freedom of the Tachtanim, of our world. Okay. So until Matan Torah took place, right, this ultimate freedom, this true freedom of the Tachtanim of our world hadn't really happened yet. So despite the fact that until Matan Torah took place, we haven't really reached this true geula and freedom that came with Matan Torah, nevertheless, at the time that we actually left Mitzrayim, that's when the potential was given also for the geula, the redemption that took place at Matan Torah, which was the bitul hagezera, the nullification of this decree that, you know, the higher world can't come down to the lower world and the lower world can't go up to the higher world. That nullification of that fact that we now have the ability to draw godliness into our world and elevate our world, that happened at Matan Torah, but the potential for that started at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hine al derech zeh hu gam benegea legeula ha'asida. So going back to our original discussion, we're going to say similarly to this about Mashiach, just like Yetzias Mitzrayim was not the geula of Matan Torah, right? The geula of Matan Torah was much deeper and much loftier and much more powerful than the geula of just physically walking out of Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, walking out of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the giving, included within it, giving the potential for the geula of Matan Torah. So too was it the giving of the potential to the world for the geula ha'asida, for the coming of Mashiach. Shebe ha'geula di Yetzias Mitzrayim nitan ha'kayach gam al geula ha'asida. That in the redemption from Mitzrayim, in the geula from Mitzrayim, was given the potential also for the future redemption, for the coming of Mashiach. Why? Mikavan shebeshas Matan Torah hayakvar me'ein hagilah dila asid lavan. Since at the time of Matan Torah, there was already a glimmer or a taste of what will be revealed when Mashiach comes, right? The revelation that the Jewish people experienced at Har Sinai was kind of like a mini taste of Mashiach. Elisha b'shas matan Torah haya hagilei rak lefi shah. But at matan Torah, it was only temporary. But that same state of being, of revelation that the Jews experienced at Matan Torah temporarily, when Mashiach comes, we'll experience that in a constant and permanent way. Okay, so why was the revelation that we experienced at Matan Torah just a taste, whereas when Mashiach comes, it will be permanent and ongoing? Because at the time of Matan Torah, it was a revelation that came from above. It wasn't something that we initiated, that we were prepared for, that we brought about. It was something that Hashem just let us in on, so to speak. Hashem kind of decided to show himself in this way, and we were there, so we experienced it. But we also know that we, all of the Yidden's neshamas left their bodies from hearing Hashem speak, Lazarus HaDibrei. So we weren't ready for it. It had nothing to do with us or where we were holding or what we were, able to receive and process. It was entirely just this revelation from above. And that's why it was temporary. But on the other hand, when Mashiach comes, we're going to experience that same revelation, but it's not just going to be coming to us, from above, from Hashem's initiation. It's also going to be coming from down here, from us. That creation will be in a state of ultimate refinement when Mashiach comes. And therefore, will be appropriate vessels to receive this revelation of godliness. And we'll be able to really integrate it, process it, and receive it without it kind of knocking us out of who we are. Lahasig das bayram kifi kayach adam, right? We'll be able to grasp the knowledge of our Creator according to the ability of man. Bazen naisa asar shalem, and this will make us a asar shalem, I think means like a complete place or a perfect place, a perfect vessel. Lahashraz ar ein saif, for the resting of our ein saif of Hashem, shalemaila mikayach adam, which is really far beyond the abilities of people. Okay, so that's Ayis Gimel. Should we do like a quick recap just keep going?
Quick recap.
Okay, quick recap. So I think really the key idea of this Ayis is the fact that Yetzias Mitzrayim opened a channel for a new reality to come into the world. And that is the reality of Geula, the reality of us having the ability in whatever context it may be or the experience of being freed from limitations and restrictions. And we see how that began with, again, physically leaving Mitzrayim, no longer being subservient to Parai. But at the same time, that gave the potential for future redemption. As we see very locally to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Mitzrayim is what allowed the Jews to go to Matan Torah, where we were able to experience a much more powerful Geula, which really was the fact that now this world can become affected by spirituality. And the Rebbe is saying, similarly to that, not only were we just given, the ability to then go to Matan Torah, we were really given the ability to go on and on and on to every Geula that we will experience throughout history, and ultimately the Geula of Mashiach. So I think that's Ayis Gimel in a nutshell. Okay, Ayis Dalet. In Ayis Dalet, we get into a little bit more the nitty-gritty of our first question from Ayis Aleph, which, if you remember, was why does the Pasuk refer to Yetzias Mitzrayim as having taken place in multiple days, right? Yemei Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim was plural. We wanted to know why. So that's what we're going to kind of dive into in Ayis Dalet. We're going to take the concept that we just learned and kind of flesh it out and use it to answer this question as well. Okay. Ayis Dalet. V'zehu gam kein mashakasav kimei tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim. And this is also why it's written kimei tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim, yemei lashen rabim. The word yemei is plural. Multiple days. Dekol hayamim, because all of the days, mi yemei ge'ula harishayna me'galas Mitzrayim, from the days of the first ge'ula, from the galas of Mitzrayim, ad ha ge'ula ha'asida, until the future redemption, until the coming of Mashiach, bibas achas heim yemei tzeis kami eretz Mitzrayim. Kemavura b'hamayim resham. As one entity, they are all the days of leaving Mitzrayim. So every single day from the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, literally that day, until the day Mashiach comes, those are all referred to as Yemei Tzeis Kamei Eretz Mitzrayim. They're one entity. V'hainu. And what does this mean? Dema shebi Yetzias Mitzrayim niftach hatzinur gam al ha-ge'ula ha-asida. That this fact that at Yetzias Mitzrayim, the channel was opened also for the future redemption. Ha-seder b'zehu, the way this works is shebechol yayim v'yayim, that every single day, me'eis Yetzias Mitzrayim ad ge'ula ha-asida, from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Mashiach's coming, na'isa einin Yetzias Mitzrayim ba'ayfen na'ila yayser. Every single day, we are accomplishing and bringing about the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim in a higher way. Every single day, from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, year 2448, until Mashiach comes, every single day in that span of time, we're experiencing and accomplishing Yetzias Mitzrayim in a slightly higher way, almost like kind of like a spiral staircase, I guess, is the image that's coming to mind. That we're kind of doing the same process of Yetzias Mitzrayim over and over again, but we're progressing higher and higher. Va'ad l'tachlis ha'ilei b'zeh b'ge'ula ha'asida, until we reach the ultimate expression of this, the highest possible expression of this idea of ge'ula with the coming of Mashiach. I feel like we just said so much. It's like hard to just continue reading. It's such a like mind-changing or perspective-changing concept. Like the Rebbe just said, every single day from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Mashiach's coming is part of one entity of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Which, if you think about it, this is just coming to mind now, means that as much as we're in Galus now, we are also experiencing Ge'ula. We're experiencing the process of Ge'ula taking place right now, even while we're in Galus. Because this is a day of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right. And I think part of the mind switch is that Ge'ula is a process. You know, like it's not a reward. I think we tend to think of Ge'ula as like we do all this work and then the reward is the Ge'ula. And like really it's like the work is the process of creating Ge'ula. Like it's the same thing. It's not like just like a token, you know?
Right, exactly.
Like we're creating that integration of Elikus in the world through our everyday actions. Like that's like literally creating that reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So v'ha'inyan hu. So the idea is, dihine amru razal, our sages of blessed memory say, b'chol dar v'dar v'chol yayim v'yayim chayav adam lirais es atzen ki ilu hu yata hayayim mitzrayim. That in every single generation and on every single day, every single person is obligated to see himself as him or herself as if you just left Mitzrayim that day. That every single day we need to go out of Mitzrayim. And what does this mean? And when is, you know, the appropriate time to experience this is during Kriya Shema, when you're saying Shema, K'may Shekas of Admar Hazakein, like the Alter Rebbe writes, D'masha Tiknu Parashas Yetzias Mitzrayim B'Shas Kriya Shema, that the reason it was established for us to read the third paragraph of Shema, Vayomer, the reason that became part of Kriya Shema specifically, Hu Mipnei Shehein Kriya Shema Yetzias Mitzrayim Dabar Echad, because the whole Avaida of Kriya Shema and the Avaida of Yetzias Mitzrayim are really the same thing. And that's why we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in the paragraph about Tzitzis at the time we're saying Shema, because those represent two Avaidas that are really very similar. V'inyin zeh, and this idea, Sheba Kriya Shema Tzarech Liyais HaAvaida Yetzias Mitzrayim, that at the time of Kriya Shema, we're supposed to be doing the Avaida of Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'gam B'Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, this is also applicable when we say Shema in Ma'ariv, K'may Shekas of HaRambam, like the Rambam writes, D'ma Shekirin Parshas Tzitzis, Gam B'Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Afal Pi, She'ein Mitzvah Tzitzis Neheges B'Layla, Hu Mipnei She'yesh Ba Zikarin Yetzias Mitzrayim. As the Rambam writes, that the reason we actually say the third paragraph of Shema, which really is about Tzitzis, also in Ma'ariv, even though we're not obligated in Tzitzis at night, is because it also includes a mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So just to, I guess, give a quick recap of what we just said. The third paragraph of Shema, which talks about tzitzis, also mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it became part of the order of saying Shema. The reason it was set up that way in the Siddur is because the Avaida of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we're discussing in this Maimer, is the same Avaida as the Avaida that we're meant to be doing during Kriya Shema. So without going, you know, into great length about the Avaida of Kriya Shema, it's also this idea of releasing ourselves from, I guess, our physical limitations, our physical perceptions. Shema is all about Achdus Hashem, is all about how really all of reality is an expression of the truth of Hashem. So by, you know, bringing ourselves into that perspective, we're releasing ourselves from the constraints of our kind of natural way of seeing the world, which is a similar idea to the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim in general and Geula in general. Okay, so we'll continue on and we're kind of going to dive back into our main discussion here. So v'zehu ki mei tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim, yimei lashon rabim. So this is what it means, ki mei tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim, like the days of your coming out of Mitzrayim, yimei lashon rabim, plural, multiple days. Af sheyetzias Mitzrayim haisa b'yom echad, that even though Yetzias Mitzrayim took place only on one day, ke'al yedei shemaskirin b'chol yom Yetzias Mitzrayim, through the fact that every single day we mention and remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shahaisa b'pam harishayna b'yom echad, which when it took place the first time did actually only happen on one day. Hine al yedei zeh, through this mentioning and remembering of that every single day, through that, na'asa yemei tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim yemei lashon rabim. That actually makes it into plural, multiple days of your leaving Mitzrayim. Shebechol yayim v'yayim yaitzim mimeitzarim v'gvulim na'ilam yaiser. That every single day we are leaving and freeing ourselves from higher and higher limitations and restrictions. Od menshtaltzech avek b'matzav shel uferatzta l'mayla mimedida v'hagbala. And we stand ourselves, we put ourselves in a situation or maybe an attitude or a mindset of uferatzta, of breaking forth, of right? Uferatzta means to break out of boundaries. And it should be in a way, the Rebbe says, l'mayla mimedida v'hagbala, even higher than any kind of measurements and limitations. So every single day, you know, we say in davening, or if you're not davening, we have this mitzvah to remember and mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, but really what is that all about? It's not about just saying the words of Shema, it's about the fact that every single day we have the opportunity to break through our own limitations, to break through our own boundaries, every single day on a slightly, you know, one small step at a time, but a slightly higher way, we're overcoming our own limitations and restrictions that we have in our, that we struggle with in our own lives. And we're kind of setting ourselves up to, I feel like the I thought this was kind of like a nice way of saying it, that the Rebbe says, "Amen shteltzach avek b'matzav shel uferasta." Like we're putting ourselves into a matzav, like a situation, this is kind of like who we are, this is our attitude, it's our mindset is a mindset of uferasta, that we're constantly expanding, breaking out of our boundaries. You know, we challenge our limitations, our habits, our comfort zone in one way today. The next day, we're going to push the limit a little bit further. Va'ad shebaim le uferatzta b'tachlis Hashem shleimos b'geula ha'mitzis v'ashleim al yedei Mashiach tzidkenu. Until we reach kind of the ultimate uferatzta, the ultimate breaking out of boundaries, which will be the coming of Mashiach. Dechsiv bei, that it's written about Mashiach. The Rebbe is going to quote another pasuk from Micha about Mashiach, which says, Allah ha'peretz lefnehem, which means the ha'peretz, the one who breaks boundaries, went up before them. And actually, I looked up the pasuk. Rashi says that this refers to their savior, I guess Mashiach, who's going to go before them and break through the thorns and the bushes and set a clear path for them. So this, it's this idea of a Mashiach kind of like breaking through these limitations, and that's kind of like a characteristic, I guess, of who Mashiach is. He's referred to as Hapirus, like the one who's going to break through the final limitations of Galus. Tzehu Masha Mashiach hu ben David, and this is also why Mashiach is a descendant of David. V'gam hasiman al Mashiach hu shehu haiga b'tayra v'aisek b'mitzvais k'David aviv. An identifying sign about Mashiach is that he will, toil in Tyra and be busy with mitzvahs like David, his father. V'leicha melchameis Hashem, and he'll fight the battles of Hashem. And what is the connection between this and David? De David hu mibnei Peretz, that David was a descendant of Peretz. Peretz was one of the sons of Yehuda and Tamar. And the story there in, I think it's Parshas Vayeshev, if I'm not mistaken, is that Tamar was giving birth and that she had twins, and the first child's hand came out, and the midwife, I think, tied like a red string on his hand to say this was the baby that was born first. But then actually he took his hand back in and the other baby came out first. And so his mother, Tamar, named him Peretz, which means, right, same Shirish as Ufarasa, to break forth. Right, Dichsiv Bey, it's written about him. What she said when that happened was, Ma Peretz Alecha Peretz. Look how much you strengthened yourself. Rashi translates it as strengthen, as he uses the word chazak. Ma chazakta alecha chazak is what Rashi says, I think. But it's this idea of pritzas kol hagadarim v'hamadidas v'hagbalis, breaking through all kinds of limitations and restrictions and boundaries. Okay, so that's Ayis Daled. And I guess here we have really this notion of Geula that we've been discussing in general in the Maamar until now. We've really kind of zoomed in on how we can experience it in our own lives every single day. And I think this is really, this Ayis of the Maamar kind of really captures what I thought was so powerful about this Maamar that we were talking about in the beginning, which is really, you know, yes, you know, the rabbi brings up Kriya Shema, but I think really this is something that we can take into our own day-to-day life, where, you know, wherever and however we see it being applicable. But the rabbi says every single day we are doing the Avodah Yetzias Mitzrayim in a higher way. Now, I know, like, in my life, my days don't look that much better one after the next. Like, I can't say I'm, like, you know, growing by dramatic leaps and bounds on a daily basis. But the Rebbe seems to be saying, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one. So the fact that the Rebbe is saying this is something that is higher every single day seems to imply that, you know, our very, very minute, minuscule victories every day, you know, that are slowly expressing our inner growth and expansion. And, you know, it's such a slow process and it happens in such small increments day to day. But the Rebbe is really saying here that each of those small increments that happens on a daily basis, it is almost like a critical step in this process of Geula. It's the process of bringing Mashiach. And I guess you have to say almost that our failures have to be part of that too, because some days, you know, we don't do better, you know, objectively better than yesterday. Some days we just kind of fall a little bit flat. But I think if our mentality is a mentality of Ufaratzah, that like, okay, yes, I fell, but Ufaratza, I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to use the strength that I've gained from this mistake to learn better and to do better. Again, even though it's going to happen slowly over time and nothing dramatic, like that literally is the process of Mashiach coming every single day.
Right, and like I'm just thinking when you view it as like I'm in a process right now. Like not like we're stuck in Galus and then like we're waiting for Mashiach to come, but like we're in the process of like creating this redemption every day. I feel like it's just like it gives you a different way of looking at the failures, you know? Like it's like when you have a project you need to get done, you have like a deadline that's coming up, you know? And it's like if something sets you back for a second, it's like, okay, we had a setback, but like right now, like my mind is set on the goal and set on like what I need to accomplish right now, and like it's very goal oriented and very there's almost like this drive and this like adrenaline that keeps you going, you know? That's just like very much like, okay, right. I'm creating this product that needs to be produced, you know? And like looking at Geula that way is like we're literally a part of producing this product called Geula. Like we're creating this together. And I loved how you said at the beginning that like it could feel like our own personal lives are so mundane and so like petty almost, you know, like the everyday struggles are so like do they even matter? And like realizing that, yeah, like every person is a part of creating, not just like in our personal lives, like I think we talk a lot about like our own personal geula, you know, but it's not just a personal geula, it's a global geula that each person is part of creating. And I think that's like a really powerful idea. I think also another idea that I think when we discussed this, we were talking about is this idea of, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim not just being symbolic, you know, like we like to talk about, you know, in Hasidus in general, we talk about a lot of ideas that are spoken about in Torah and like what the spiritual meaning of it is. And a lot of times it's easy to think of like the spiritual meaning of something, the way it's described in Hasidus, as like it's the symbolic meaning of it. You know, it's like, okay, so we're going to, we're not coming out of Mitzrayim, but like symbolically, you know, we go out of Mitzrayim. So we do all these things, we do all these rituals as like a symbolism, you know?
Right. Or even if it's more than a symbolism, it's still, it's kind of like maybe metaphor almost. Like in my life, this is Yetzias Mitzrayim, but this isn't like actually Yetzias Mitzrayim kind of in a real way. Like, you know, in the context of my very small, very insignificant life, this resembles Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right. I'm doing a miniature model of that, which can also feel meaningful in some ways. But right. I think like this is something so much more powerful, which is that, no, like this is actually what Yetzias Mitzrayim is. Like what you're doing is part of the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, not just like a...
Right. It's almost like there's kind of like this synthesis or integration between like the microcosm of our life and our avida and our, you know, personal journey, and like the macro kind of journey of B'nai Yisrael and really of all of reality, you know, from creation till completion when Mashiach comes. Like, even though our, you know, our own life is kind of a segmented part of that time span of history, and, you know, in the context of our life, you know, our life has, you know, a beginning, middle, and end, so to speak, and our own journey has its own
story. Right.
At the same time that storyline, you know, that, let's say, our personal Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of our own storyline, it at the same time is functioning as part of this bigger storyline and this bigger picture. So there's kind of like this interplay between our personal avodah and our personal life and our personal accomplishments and, I guess, the meaning that they hold to us in the context of our own life, and then the meaning that they hold in the context of, you know, Dir B'Tachtayim, which is...
Right.
It gives our own story so much more weight because it's part of this, like, tapestry of everyone's stories together, kind of collectively bringing about Mashiach.
Mm, yeah, that's really beautiful. And I feel like this is a theme in Chassidus in general. Like, you know, there's a really beautiful mimer from Derech Mitzvah Secha that talks about matzah. I don't know if you've ever learned it, about like the mitzvah of eating matzah. And like, it starts off by saying, okay, like, so like, you know, there are svarim that talk about matzah as being like a reminder of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Like, just like when we came out of Mitzrayim, you know, our bread didn't have time to rise, they ate matzah. So like, we sort of like, as like a symbolic, you know, sort of reminder of what they did, we also eat matzah. And then also like that matzah sort of like triggers our emunah because we remember that whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and like it sort of can sort of be the symbol of what, of emunah, because we like have faith in knowing the miracles that Hashem did when we came out of Mitzrayim, it instills this faith in us, right? But like, Chassidus is something so much deeper, which is that like, no, like eating matzah actually gives you emunah, and like not in like a, because like it triggers your memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore you're gonna feel more inspired. But like, the actual act of eating matzah, like literally, like changes you as a person. Like it actually like has a real like practical impact. It's not just a symbolic act. And, you know, mitzvahs in general are like that. They're not just, you know, symbolic things that remind us of some spiritual concept. It's like there's an actual change we're creating in ourselves and in the world and in reality when we're doing these things. And I think just like thinking about that is can be really life-changing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we just explored, you know, just a few ideas of the Maamar, and there's obviously more to it that we didn't get to in this short, you know, 50-minute episode. But yeah, Nucha, maybe just give us like sort of like, you know, an end off of like sort of what else is to come in the Maamar, you know, for people who want to learn the whole thing, just so they have like an idea of how this concludes, you know?
Sure. So at this point in the Maamar, or in the coming parts of the Maamar, the Rebbe kind of shifts to talking about kind of two avaidas, Iskafia and Ishapcha, Iskafia being kind of overcoming and subduing our negative impulses versus Ishapcha, where we really transform them. And the Rebbe talks about how these two different avaidas, which are present, you know, in every day of our lives, really parallel. Iskafia parallels Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ishapcha parallels the coming of Mashiach. And ultimately, the Rebbe goes on to say how there is an advantage to Iskafia. There's a advantage to that kind of seemingly more, you know, lesser or lower avaida. There's something that's so precious and so special about it that Ishapcha doesn't have. And the Rebbe talks about how even when Mashiach comes, right, we're, like we were saying before, we're still going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're still going to have that advantage of Iskafia even when Mashiach comes. And really, the reason for that is because we are creating Geula through that. Because we're using Iskafia, we're subduing and overcoming and struggling. And that's actually what's creating Geula, that kind of allows us to bring the advantage of that Avaida, of Iskafia, with us into the times of Mashiach. obviously it's in a lot more detail and it's very rich and beautiful. And I definitely encourage anyone who wants to open up the mimer and learn it in depth. But that, I guess that's just kind of a taste of what the end of the mimer discusses.
What's coming, right? And I feel like that just brings the point home even more, like these everyday struggles that we're going through, especially when like we really feel like we're not aligned with like what our higher purpose is right now. Like we're really like in a different place than what we're supposed to be. Like that's what His Coffee is about. It's like, you know, like aligning ourselves with something which is not where we really feel comfortable. Like that's like, we're going to mention that even when Mashiach comes, right? Like when Mashiach comes like that, there's still going to be like we're going to see the value of those everyday struggles. And we're going to see how that even in a sense has more value even to the glorious, you know, era, of Mashiach. So yeah, I think that definitely brings the point home. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, Menucha. This was really fun.
Of course. Pleasure. Yeah, I really enjoyed. Thank you for giving me the chance to do it. Definitely wouldn't. I don't think this would have been a year that I would have learned a mimer in depth before Pesach. So this gave me the excuse, and I have to say I'm glad I did.
Awesome.
So thank you.